Loud and listen to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. So happy we're in our right minds, we feel refreshed. We come and gather in His presence today. I want to make everyone feel welcome, all the strangers, the visitors. May God should bless you. May this service be a service where the grace of God can come down and do something special for you. God is a good God. Amen.
Amen.
All over, and we all yesterday, people, you know, keeping the tradition, they give gifts to people, they send cards, they have the long list, they don't want to leave out nobody. People spend extra, people try to cut down their list and had to eventually lengthen their list, and people went shopping, busy leaving the things undone because they didn't want the season to pass without giving someone a great gift. Amen. But as we would come and gather together in His house, we think of He who gave the greatest gift. Herein is the love of God, not that we first love Him, but that He first loved us and gave Himself to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. He sent the word of God in these last days. He opened the seven seals. Amen. What love this was. Amen. Coming down from above to lost humanity. Amen. Today we have that gift in our hearts, and then we too can give back a gift to Him, offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. What a great, wonderful thing. A special greetings to our precious brother Alvin Allen. Amen. In the house of God today, God is your blessing. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Blessed be the Lord God. My, I'm so glad to have him. And he looked so white, to be compliant. He looked very compliant by the grace of God, amen. Like he's gonna go right into the new year without any troubles too. Amen, praise God for that. Blessed be His wonderful name. Let's just have a word of prayer. If we come into the main portion of this service into the hands of Almighty God, that He would give us the leadership, the direction, knowing that this is the desire of our hearts. Lord, we bow in humility, in deep sincerity, Father. Standing here in Your august presence and realizing that this could be our last Christmas season like this, maybe. We don't know if we'll tarry here until next year rolls around to this time. We're certainly not looking forward to that, because the heart burns, Lord, to be with You. Even John cried out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And especially when we see the Holy Spirit by these divinely revealed mystery truths contained in the seven seals, giving us faith for rapture and grace, moving among us in such a way as we have seen You these last few months, showing Yourself alive by infallible proofs, coming down service after service, drawing near to us, preparing us and making us ready. How it make our heart beat high with joy and with great expectations. Dear God, we've assembled ourselves to worship You. And You've drawn us all, believers, strangers, visitors, family and friends, all to this place today. Babies have been dedicated to You. The word is fixing to be preached. Betrayal and baptism is to follow, Lord. So many things is being done and is to be done with consideration for Your people, for young and old, for rich and poor. Just blessing Your people and making them all ready as You promised You would do and You sent this message to do. And so we ask today, Father, that You who gave that greatest gift, Lord, would once more express that great love. As we pray, the Holy Spirit move in such power and revelation, making plain to us the true purpose and the intention of Your heart, Your objective and Your goal in giving this gift, Lord. This gift, dear God, was intended to reconcile man back to God. Taught him the middle wall of partition. Bring us back into friendship and restored favor, back into fellowship. making of twain one, thereby making peace. Oh God, a thanksgiving in every heart where the promise is being fulfilled in this hour, as you prayed that they may be one as I and you are one, and in that day you shall know as I was in the Father and the Father in me, so I in you and you in me. Almighty God, take full control in this service. Be especially gracious and have consideration for the great needs in the lives of your people that are assembled here. Some needs, oh God, that is so beyond us, without your intervention and your operation, we will not be able to be free from conditions and situations to where, dear God, we can rise up to serve you in the way that you would desire. And knowing that you are not an impersonal God who gave something and stand back off in the corner to see what man will do with it. But you're a God who every day and who is right now in the midst of your people, even in this service. For you said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I pray that you will move even during the course of this service, ministering that the riches of that grace and mercy to all that are needy and is desirous of receiving this great blessing, that will cause them, dear God, to stand fast in the liberty with which you have made us free, and to live in honor and glory of you, and to worship you. That our lives might give witness and testimony that you are not dead, but you are alive. And you are alive forevermore. Grant it, Lord. Bless all that's gathered here today. Meet every need. Remember those in Tobago, in Grenada, where our brothers are even now ministering to the needs of your people. Bless them abundantly. Supply their every need. Let the word have free course. Let it not be bound, but let it be in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. May you lead us and direct us now. And may everything that is be said and done from here on to the end of the meeting today be according to divine approval. May your presence and your blessing be attendant upon it. For we ask these mercies in the precious, almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To open up the word, we'd like to read out of St. Luke chapter 2. Praise his wonderful name. In Luke chapter 2, it reads in this wise: And it came to pass in those days were the days after the angel came to Mary, and she conceived, and before she gave birth. Within that 9 month period, those days when the baby was being formed on the inside. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Quirinius is the Roman or the Latin name, and Cyrenius is the Greek name. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. She was not no more conceived, but now the baby was about to be born. And so it was that while they were there, that's in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Think of that. Some shepherds going to receive a message that was going to be all people. Going to be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Isn't it wonderful how God sees everything and knows everything? As a matter of fact, it's He who fixes everything. Amen. Bible says Mary brought for the child and she wrapped it in swaddling clothes. But here the angel appeared to the shepherds telling them, that is a sign for you. Mary was just doing what a mother would do, trying to wrap the newborn babe in something that, since she had no clothes, she took this piece of cloth of the yoke of the oxen to wrap the baby in. And right there, that was actually going to be a sign for shepherds, because God was wrapping this great gift that He had given to humanity. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the angel was even specific to identify where she had placed that. Not even knowing she was doing all that by inspiration. She was directed to do that. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Amen. All they had was some information. But it was divine information. That information, they had to go and search now. They had to go and look for it. But they wasn't just going to sit down. They knew if this thing is so important that angels would announce it, then let us go. Let's haste and go and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. God has told them that this unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So no matter what it looked like to them, as long as they found it in the place where the angel said it would be laying, amen, that was the Savior. Amen. Mightn't they be dressed up and attractive and look nice and presentable for everyone who would have the concept how the king should be wrapped and dressed? And then to those who think that they couldn't find a king in such a place. But the angels gave them the direction where to find this king. the Savior. And then they begin to herald this thing concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. Didn't say they believe, it said they wondered. Maybe they kind of wonder, how come these men could have that message? How come these big theologians did not know that? How come these unqualified speakers supposed to have this great thing that nobody can know about? See? All the doctors, they wondered about it. They stood in their shoes and they wondered. Wondering stars. But the shepherds knew what they found. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. See where she kept it? In her heart. She just pondered over them. Meditating upon it. Praying over it. Hallelujah. Seeking God for a clearer understanding of it. And others just wondering about it. Not even interested, because nobody's going to go down there in that stinking dirty place. And all that stench down there to inquire more diligently about it. Them shepherds are right at home in that atmosphere, in that environment. Praise God. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. His name is Jesus. He was born Christ, the Lord, and he's born in the city of David. And it was shepherds from the house of David in Bethlehem, and it was a virgin of the house of David that received this great visitation. Because they had to go back to Bethlehem, because there was the lineage and house of David when the taxation came, and every man had to go back to the birthplace. All of this was concerning the house of David. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let's pray. Father, take these words and bless it to the hearts of your people. And may these things that you have been dealing with us, Lord, this past month here, especially, Lord God, be opened up even further, and we see the spiritual application, what these things mean to us in this hour. Grant it, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless me, obviously. I want to take for a little title this morning, the Hidden Messiah. Because the shepherds or no other person could find him, except it was not revealed to them divinely where to go and look for him. Amen. And the only reason those who found him is because they receive a supernatural visitation. Amen. And they receive supernatural instructions where to go and look. Amen. He said, unto you is born this day in the city of David. They all knew what the city of David was, where it was. And that's a big city. It was a little old place, but it kind of grew over the years and developed. Because Salma, after he had found it, it had fallen to Judah's portion. And you know in the Bible, when Joshua went in the land and was dividing up the promised land to the 12 tribes of Israel, who God had called out to Egypt and brought over in the promised land, over 115 cities and towns and villages was given to Judah in their inheritance. And yet out of all those 115 towns and villages and cities, that little city was not mentioned. It was so insignificant. There's no wonder the prophet Micah, under inspiration, caught him and said, out of Bethlehem, least of the princes of Judah. And I think that is good, because his first coming is a type of his second coming. And when all these great things was happening in the coming forth and the fulfilling of this great promise, which people had looked for 4,000 years, since Genesis, when God gave the promise, the woman shall receive a seed. Amen. Moses rose up. God was a prophet like unto me. God told Abraham, you'll have a seed. In that seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. He'll possess the gate of the enemies. God told David, you will have a seed of his kingdom. There shall be no end. I'll establish his throne. He will build a house for me. And great things were spoken of this one that was promised. All the prophets spoke of him. He was the principal theme of all the prophesying. Because when he came, he took the entire book, the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things concerning himself. And he showed that he was the fulfillment of all these things. I think that's wonderful. As we ponder these things, and knowing no doubt that so many people have preached little Christmas messages, but I'm only using this because of we've been in this speaking about the house of David and the great son that was to build his house. And how he had left the father's throne to take his own throne, and he had the key of David that we were speaking about last week, and the sure mercies of David, all these promises. I just want to show you now that all this background has been laid. And we realize that these things have not yet come into the complete fulfillment, but were only being revealed in part. Because this is the day when he revealed himself, he that had the key of David. Amen. And you will sit with me in my throne. Though he was born king of the Jews, yet he never came into his kingdom. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. But he was caught up to his father's throne. But then one day he was going to leave his father's throne and take his own throne. This throne that was going to be established in the earth. A physical kingdom. Daniel saw it, a great rock that was going to smite the 10 toes. And we are specifically told in the book of Daniel, it is not in the time of the head of gold. It is not in the time of the chest of silver or the ties of brass. It is not in the time of the legs of iron. And when Jesus came, he came in the time of the legs of iron. And Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. And they thought he was going to have the kingdom. And he said, not unto you to know the time and seasons. This only the Father knows this. Even the Son didn't know it at that time. And we went through all these things. Showing that from the Bible, showing that from the message. But we're specifically told it was going to be in the days of the 10 toes shall the God of heaven set up his kingdom. When that fourth kingdom comes into the earth. And how it took a prophet of God to identify to us those 10 toes, Eisenhower and Khrushchev, leader of the 5 Western nations and the 5 Eastern nations. And how that great symbolic act of arrogance expressed by Khrushchev when he took his shoes off and beat the desk to get attention in the United Nations meeting in December 1959. And right there, here was the word, a prophet, December 1959, preaching super sign. Emmanuel, God and man, after he had spoken squirrels into existence, after he had spoken salvation to two boys for Hattie Wright and preaching super sign. Here the rock himself, cut out without hands, being revealed in human flesh, the Messiah coming forth on the scene, the Messiah who would take the book and open the 7 seals, the Messiah who would be rejected again, even in the Gentile age. But God showing that this was that age when that kingdom is to be set up. And then we find out about 4 years after Khrushchev did that, here comes a sign in the sky. One like the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when you see that, you know that the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of man will be falling apart in that hour. And here comes a prophet. While that sign comes and says, the world is again falling apart. And preaches shalom. The breaking of a new day. The ministry of the morning star. getting ready for 1,000 years of peace, 1,000 years of shalom. A kingdom where there's no graves, no jails, no institutions, none of these things, amen. A kingdom where the lion will lay down with the lamb, announcing these things to us. That Jesus had told him, pray, thy kingdom come. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They tried to make him king. But he knew that the kingdom was not to come in that time. So he tell a parable. A certain man went into a far country to receive a kingdom and then to return in Luke 19. The people who thought the kingdom was going to come right there. He said he was going to go in a far country and return. And then he's going to come back. And while he was going, he gave talents to his servants. They occupied till I come. And in that hour of his coming, he's coming to establish that kingdom. And he's coming to sign that kingdom is at hand. Amen. And this secret that was shut up, that only the Father knew, that the Son couldn't tell at that time before he went into that far country to receive that kingdom. He came back in his mediatorial ministry and sent and signified by an angel to his servant John on the Isle of Patmos. And it is written the revelation which God gave to his Son. Because his Son previously did not have that revelation. But now he shows this great kingdom and the mystery of this kingdom, this great coming, is going to take place in such secrecy, in such simplicity, even like it was unknown in the first coming. For you know, the last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. First book in the New Testament is Matthew. There's 400 silent years. There was no prophets, no angelic visitation, nothing, no visions, nothing. But then when the book opens, we see the angel Gabriel appearing. Angel begin to come on the scene. We see vision, angelic visitations. All this begin to come forth. We see Zechariah getting a visitation. We see Elizabeth getting a visitation. We see Joseph and Mary getting a visitation. We see Simeon and Anna getting a revelation. Six people inside of the air. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna. Little types of the bride, little remnant. Little humble herdsmen, like the shepherds, getting a revelation. Gifted men who seen this great star that led them to the Word made flesh. Catching a mystery, seeing the star for their age that could lead them to the Word made flesh. Catching these things. While the church world is going on, while they had the Bibles, while they had the services, while they had the ministers, while they had the theologians, while they had the church programs. But yet we don't read that the angel Gabriel went to Caiaphas. We don't read that the angel Gabriel went to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We don't, because they didn't believe in those things. We don't read that they were getting these visions. We don't read that these things were being revealed to them, though they were considered to be the great established churches of the day. Though they were recognized by the politicians of the day and the ruling power, the Romans of the day, to be the authority over the people. If they had any word or anything they wanted done with the society, they would see the religious heads of the Sadducees and the chief priests and the scribes and the rulers and the Sanhedrin. Then they would talk to. They wouldn't go and talk to these ordinary people because they didn't consider them as anything in the land. They felt that if they had any recognition, it should come from the big established organization that they had their relationship with. It's still the same today. How many can say amen to that? So that gives a little consolation. It don't make you feel bad. Amen. That what you believe is not in the headline in the papers. Amen. It's not talked about. Amen. It don't make you feel bad that you're overlooked. Amen. By the government and the organizations. Amen. But when you search the scriptures, in death you have eternal life. and the scripture cannot be broken. And when you search the infallible word of Almighty God, you see that the same way what he did yesterday, he does the same thing the same way today, because he's God who changes not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And then you have comfort and peace in the scripture. You have a place to anchor your soul, because you see that he is dealing with the elect in this day the same way he dealt with the elect in that day. How many know that the Bible said those things were done, so it is written like that for examples? Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10 is written for examples. Yeah. That through the scriptures, you would have comfort, you would have hope. You'd be able to look back and see how God did it. And you'll be able to compare it with your own life. And you'll see the unchanging God and the unchanging continuity of his word. Amen. And you will know you are not following some hatched up, cunningly devised fables, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. Amen. I can imagine them shepherd girls springing the step afterwards. Amen. Hallelujah! They never went to theological school one day in their life. But whatever revelation they get from a heavenly angel. An angel who descended from heaven. An angel who held the mystery of God. They wasn't praying for no angel to come to them, but God appointed them while they're watching over the flocks. Hallelujah. Glory. I like that. That's the place for a shepherd to be. Watching over his flocks. Making sure he leads them beside the still waters. Making sure he leads them in green pastures. Making sure he feeds them on sheep food. That the angel of God can hasten with the greatest message ever to them. And the Bible never said the shepherds were discouraged and confused when the people wondered at the message. Amen. Because they knew where it came from. And they knew it was correct because they found the baby exactly where the angel said it was going to be. And to find it, they had to search for it. God had many stables in Bethlehem. There are many mangers in many stables. It's a big city. The transportation, even though in them days, was animals. They had to have a place to put them. Many of the people were shepherds in that city. So they had to have places to keep the animals. And yet they didn't tell them which certain one by which street. To make it easy for them, he said, go and you will find it. Search. Search. Too much of lazy people today. You have to search it out. God tell Joshua, go and search the land. Jesus says, search the scriptures. You have to search to find it. A lot of people don't want to search. They pain to search. It takes prayer. It takes perseverance. It takes putting off a lot of things that you consider important and give priority to finding the baby. Because when you find a babe, you find a thing that could save the world. When you find a babe, you find a super sign. When you find a babe, you find Melchizedek, the word made flesh tabernacling among us. You find a son that God promised David. You find a son that God promised Abraham. When you find the one that can bruise the serpent head and bring deliverance and even take you to the grave. When you find a babe. Because that babe is a savior. Hallelujah. He'll save them from their sins. When you find that thing, amen. I'm so glad this morning there's an angel come down from heaven and he gave a message. And there's a word that can save, that can deliver, that can heal, that can raise from the dead, that can perfect a man and a woman, that can bring them back and reconcile them back to God. That can bring back oneness between God and man again. Hallelujah! My! My subject is searching for and then finding the babe. Exactly where the angel said he would be laid. I found that babe.
Amen.
I adore Emmanuel.
Amen.
What a joy.
Amen.
That's why I don't see me gloomy and all sad. Just melancholy. And he said, this good I bring to you glad tidings of great joy. I'll give you something. He'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You find this babe. You look up, you handle this babe. You'll pick this babe up. Amen. You'll feel that word that created the universe. Hallelujah. You know that's the very word that created the heavens and the earth. My. Took an angel from heaven to announce that. The descending of that angel. He knew where to find them shepherds. Amen. He found them. Then he instructed them. First those shepherds realized that they were found. Then they realized that they were being instructed about a great event. An event that all their people had looked forward to. An event that was foretold for thousands of years. An event that was going to change the world. An event that was going to bring hope in a dark hour.
Amen.
Let me tell you, he's still the thing to change today. Amen. He's still the one to bring hope in this dark hour today. He's still the answer to every problem today. And he was still announced by an angel descending in this day also. Read a little bit to you from why he'll be shepherds. Like always used to say long ago, when he preached why he'll be shepherds, he was really preaching why it could not be theologians.
Amen.
See, he had a message that, it was a great message. He knew what it was with the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. The coming of the one that was promised for these thousands of years. There's one that was promised to come in 1 Thessalonians 4. There's one that's promised to come in Revelation 10. There's one that was promised to descend in this day, to come as the hope of all mankind, as the hope of the church. The one who can restore, the one who can perfect a church, the one who can put the church in rocking condition, the chief engineer, that's the one who's here. A word that can take the people all the way back to what there was in the beginning. That was promised. The church looked for that. And when that came, the world did not know it. A true sign overlooked. God being misunderstood. The presence of God unrecognized. Yet you have seen a greater than Solomon is here. There's a man here that can turn on the light. Who do you say this is? The mighty God unveiled before us. Yet they couldn't grasp what he was talking about right there. Shepherds, unqualified people. Why would God come to shepherds? Now, if he's such an intelligent God, if he's the fountain of all wisdom, if he's the God who rules in this universe, surely he should, if he's setting up a program that ought to be of any benefit to man, it seems like it maybe it should be put in the capable hands of learned scholars, great theologians who know Hebrew and Greek and Latin and all these things. Men have been in the seminary. But you see, God don't think like man. God does things in a way that confounds the wisdom of man many times. God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. That's why sometimes, you know, people get into trouble. They start to see a way that they think is better than God's way. They start to think that God's way restricts them. They start to think that God's way is outdated. They start to think that they can improve on God's way. But there's only one way provided by God for everything.
Amen.
And the other thing is a perversion, and perversion is debt. And debt is separation from God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So let's look and see, when we see God works, and we examine the way he does his work, the way he carries out his work, the way he fulfills his word, it will teach us a lot about him. And then when you look for him in your own life, you already have an understanding of seeing what he did in the past, how he did it. So what he promised to do now in this day, if you are part of it, you can have the right expectation and you can look for it in the right way, because you have already studied it in the scripture and see how he did it in the past. Because you know that God cannot learn anything. He's infinite, he's perfect. If he does something the first time, he must do it that way every time. If God can learn and improve on what he did the first time, he's like me and you. His knowledge is not perfect. He's subject to error. But if he's God, in order to be God, he must know all things. He must be omniscient. He must be omnipotent. And so when he does something the first time, it's perfect. It's the best way to do it. Man may not think so, because the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. Let every man word be a lie, let God word be the truth. God have established that in the Bible. So remember, even he took the great Job, the great wise learned Job, and God began to interrogate Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? When I put the boundary for the water, when I set the stars in the courses, when I put the Pleiades there, and Orion, where were you? Tell me about the Maserat, how they come forth in the season. Tell me. And God showed Job that man's understanding is nowhere near the intelligence of God. Man's a puny kind of mind. So that's why it benefits us to search the scriptures. Because the scriptures cannot be broken. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. You build an organization, you build a Pharisee church, but I never had one in the Bible. You are trying to improve on me. You're trying to make something more classical than how I have made it. Look what you're producing, a two-fold child of hell. You're producing a Sadducee and a Pharisee. You can't produce a son of God. Your wife is a sepulcher full of dead men's bones. It's a big sepulcher you have here. That's all you achieve. And he showed them the futility of trying to change things the way he had it. It is the devil who gets into God's things and change it. God laid out his word in the beginning. We saw when he had an earth perfect. Look what Satan had the earth today. Ozone layer, greenhouse effect, floods, mudslide killed over about almost 90,000 there. See, earthquake shaking the place, everything. Why? Man started to tamper with things the way God laid. See? You have to see how God established a home in the beginning. Satan got into it, break the union. See? Then what happened? It started to bring debt. The earth destroyed, the human race destroyed. Why? Man injecting their own ideas, man going contrary to God provided way. That's why the only way to become a Christian is by receiving a new birth. Because a new birth will make you try to think like God and subject your spirit to God. And you will not exalt your knowledge above God. And the evidence of the new birth will show you can align with God. You come into union with God. There's a harmony in that union. Amen. Exactly right. And that's why here we see how God made known this great thing. For 4,000 years, they looked for this great Redeemer, this great Savior. It was promised them. It was proven to them. They had little types and shadows of it. How Joseph saved the world. How Moses delivered the people from bondage. How David fought the giant and overcome the great enemy that had the people so defeated. How Noah took them above the judgment and brought them back in a new world. All these things are typing in the come. Noah ended up a drunk. David ended up in adultery. See? Moses glorified himself. So all these saviors, because they were not the world, because they were born of flesh, because they came by sex, a perverted birth, they could only bring part redemption. But this one who was going to come, this Savior, was going to come without sex. He was going to come being born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! He's bypassing the curse. He's coming in, man, to bring deliverance. He's coming to take every chain off his people. Glory be to God. He's not just going to give them part redemption. He'll take them all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to take them back. And when this word was to come forth, God in the back of his mind, brother, he had them and he could check them on his hand. He didn't get all the shepherds all over the world. He had some in Bethlehem, those of the house of David. He had a virgin womb of the house of David. Hallelujah! He had a place to be born in the city of David. He had it all protected. It had to come in the divine order just the way he promised it. Because this one was going to be the root and the offspring of David. My. Then we have been hearing some things these last few months. Tell me if a shepherd haven't found the Messiah. Tell me if we're not of the house of David. Tell me if there's a virgin womb that can say, be unto me according to thy word. Sure. And when you look back in the Bible, it would happen just that way. That's the way God planned it. That's the way he worked it out. It was precise. Angel couldn't end up with the wrong virgin. No. I want to show you in a little while how them gods, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, them four living creatures, guarded that thing. You know why? Because the whole redemption rested upon that. And that's why they were specific. And they show that this came exactly through the lineage, exactly according to the covenant, exactly according to the house, exactly according to the place God specified in the Bible. And when God had planned this thing would bring it to pass, God even had the people to discover it and proclaim it. Man. That's why from the very beginning, Abel was a shepherd. Abel had a flock. And right around him was Cain, the tillers of the soil, making the blocks to build a science civilization. You can catch that, eh? I know you can catch that. The way back to God. The first revelation was the way back to God. Open up. How to get past them cherubims who guarded the way of the tree of life. Now here, those four cherubims, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guarding the way. Jesus is that way. To bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the very tree of life himself, the light that he shared, to quicken and bring to life every son and daughter of God, and men receive him, to them give him power to become the sons of God. To live in the acts and the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, to operate in the Spirit in heavenly places. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they guard that way. Those living creatures. Matthew's gospel reveal him as the king, the lion. Mark's gospel reveal him as the ox, Jehovah's servant. Luke's gospel reveal him as the man, the perfect man, the son of man standing there. And John's gospel reveal him as the eagle. Amen. Glory! Just like they had them four colors, purple and red and white and blue. How purple was the royal color, the king, that Matthew robes him in. And then Mark, the atonement color, the ox, the laboring servant of Jehovah. And Luke, the perfect man, how he stands there in purity and righteousness. Amen. Glory. And John, the blue color, the heavenly, the eagle flying up in the heavens. Amen. Glory. And how them four cherubim is weaved on that veil. That veil of the mercy seat. The veil to go into the holy. It was weaved there because that veil was his flesh. And the mystery of this man was reflecting this great thing. And when all that was packaged and wrapped together, the gift had to be revealed to shepherds. Why it had to be shepherds? We want to look at this hidden Messiah. God hid it. They had to search for it. He's hid today. When he was born, he was hidden. When he walked the face of the earth, he was still hidden. He said, no man can know the Son, save. No man can know the Father, save the Son. And only he to whom the Son revealed. He who is in the bosom of the Father. He said, Father, I thank you, hide it from the wise and the prudent, and you only reveal it to babes such as were alone. He said, whom do men say, the Son of Man? The flesh and blood had not revealed that to you, but the Father in heaven will reveal that to you. He's always hidden. He said, search the scriptures, in them you think of eternal life, and they testify of me. He was also hidden in the word. He had to take his own life, written in the Bible, the word himself, taking the word itself to reveal himself in itself. Hidden. Hidden in the scriptures. Hid when he was born. Hid from the church world. Still hidden today. Hidden in simplicity. Revealed in humility. You have to have life. You have to have representation to recognize him. You have to see him in the way he presents himself. And every time he does that, it will be exactly according to the word. He says, why this great event was revealed to shepherds? Most all of us, I suppose, at one time or other, has wondered why that this greatest event of all times was revealed to shepherds. Think of it in this day. The coming of the Lord, the greatest thing. All heaven is silent. No man knew it, save who is going to be revealed to the rapture, the revelation, only for the bride. When the Messiah comes down from heaven and one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and stands on the earth and begin to gather his redeemed subjects who will sit with him in his throne. Think of it. That greatest thing will be revealed only to his elect. And that's what we're trying to show you. Look how he revealed it back there. Look how he revealed it here. Look how his first coming and his second coming. And you know something? Even the first coming wasn't supposed to be like in secret. Yet it was so secret. Think of this day when it's supposed to be secret. How much more it's going to be. No wonder, you say, people will be in the tribulation and then realize it and say, but it wasn't supposed to be a rapture. He says, already come and gone. You didn't even know it. It's like John, they were saying, you know, where's Elias? Elias must first come. He said, you already come and you've done on him whatsoever you listed. He said, right there, I see the rapture. Think of it, friends. That's why it behooves us in this day to make our calling and our election sure. It's not just about jumping around, clunging around, and running from church to church and playing around with people and these things and saying, oh, we believe the message and then can't even walk in the truth. Yeah, but lining up with the word, recognizing you are part of the fulfillment, seeing your life and being identified in the Bible, seeing the scripture being interpreted in your very own life, seeing your life and the Bible dovetailing together in the time and the season, you bearing the fruit to prove that you are walking with God, that there's life in you. And if you see this thing, it'll bring joy to your heart. They try to get pirate and beat the bottle and spoon and burn everybody trembling for Y2K, all kinds of different things. See? They can only get as much joy as rum could give. And they make that themselves. And that'll pervert what God take to make that. See? But God himself who made you can come and be your joy. Hallelujah! God himself can come down to your heart and give you stimulation and put you on a high, amen. Give you a spring in your step. Something real. All the joys leave them when they watch that money begin to disintegrate, let the devaluation or something come to. You're going to see how much joy they have. You have the Holy Ghost, the word anointed inside you. Find this Messiah. Hallelujah! You know what this Messiah can do. And you know something? It makes you do strange things when you recognize him. Think of it. Amram and Jochebed recognized Moses to be the Messiah in their day. The one, because Moses was a prophet like unto Jesus. Jesus is a prophet like unto Moses. One is shadow and time, aren't it? Shadow and reality, shadow and substance. And so, when they saw Moses, they didn't fear the wrath of the king. They knew that was a proper child. That was the deliverer. They take that baby, but they put him on the Nile there. They believe that God will preserve that good because that was the word, and God will watch over the word because that's the word to bring deliverance. That's the fulfillment of what God spoke concerning to Abraham. I'll bring the people out in the fourth generation with a strong and mighty hand. That's why Mary and Joseph look at that baby and they knew where that baby came from. And they flee, amen, from Herod wrath. And they went into Egypt, waiting there, knowing that this child will bring redemption. Then what about the child that we've received too? What about this word that we have impregnated with? What about this word that's forming inside of us? Don't you know this is the thing that's going to bring a change, bring this little world to the grave? Don't you know this is the one that's going to preach to the lost and minister your testimony? Hallelujah! The son that you are bringing forth will sit on that throne of David. You know that? Because you don't bring forth that son, you can't be in the throne with him. Because that throne is for the son. And the only way you'll be with him, you have to have that son in you. Bringing forth that very son. That's what the overcomer in this age. Who overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They overcome that in this evil age. They didn't sell the birthright for a morsel of meat, amen. They stood, yeah, they love the birthright. They won't give it up for nothing. They sit in that throne and rule over the kingdoms of this world. He said, unto you is born this day in the city of David. The word born into manifestation. The promised word born on the scene. The word, the scripture being fulfilled. The word has come alive. It's no longer in the pages. It's manifested. I revealed it to you. Amen. I saw you how to come into contact with it. My. Don't you realize what we have come in contact with is promised to rule the world? I'll give you the morning star. What was that? Amen. You rule the nation with a rod of iron. What is that? Friends, let me tell you. This word that we have received is Christ. What shall he do with this Jesus called Christ? This Jesus I put in our hands. What is this? That the world have rejected. That they try to wash their hands from. Think of it. This word. This is the word that's coming in power, friends. The same way Messiah could not come out of any other house than David's house, is the same way this rapture can't come outside of this message. This resurrection can't come outside of this message. This translation, marriage, supper, millennium cannot come outside of this message. In this house, who born by this seed? It would not come in a Baptist house, or a Methodist house, or a Pentecostal house, or a Jewish house. Those houses are going through the tribulation. But it's a house of the seed of this message, of posterity, a bride from all nations. Glory be to God. He said, I planted for the bride. I sow seed for the bride. All Robert and Billy, I'm so
the world come for the churches, the tears, but I planted for the bride. No wonder, what house have you built me? Of whose house are you? This Messiah born to you. Are you pregnant with him? Mary knew, get it, Mary knew that inside of her she was great with child. Being great with child. You know, woman, that mothers, experienced mothers, they say, show the belly, hang there, anytime now. See that moon there? Tonight she going down. They say the baby in position, the great with child. Not now conceive and get a little movement. Great with child. That a few more days, just a few more days, should be accomplished. That should be delivered. But you have to fulfill those days in the city of David. Hallelujah! She had to get out of that lowly place. She might be rejected and despised and pressed out. But it's done inside of the air. You watch them shepherds rise with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come out with this hidden Messiah that nobody knows about. It will be announced by them. They'll be testifying. The angel of the Lord came to me in the room today. And he showed me beating the 6 and 7 trumpets. Why the trumpets is beat supernaturally under the 6th seal. Right in between verse 1 and verse 2. How the Messiah was laying there, hidden from the wisest theologians. Hallelujah! But humbles heard men. Amen. But I went searching and found him exactly where the angel said he would be laid. And then we know Messiah is not up in the sky somewhere. Messiah is on the earth. Messiah is on the earth. They could not see that and talk about him in future no more. They knew he was here. When they spoke of him, we have seen him. We have looked upon him. We have handled the word of God. This was the word that was from the beginning. Let's shut him up. You're a shepherd. You ain't even the Bible school in your life. Okay, not for you. Amen. Glory be to God. But the angel came to me and bring your wisest theologian if you want. Let him come in his theology. Let him put on that rod of theology. Let him turn to a serpent and see. Amen. See where that is going to end up. Glory. Most all of us, I suppose, at one time or the other, has wondered why that this greatest event of all times was revealed to shepherds. Why was it revealed to shepherds and not to the theologians of that day? And there's a great lesson that sometime I'd like to bring. He says, so Jesus, talking about Jesus, he was the bread of life. And being the bread of life, he could come to no other place but the house of God's bread. Because Bethlehem means house of God's bread. And Jesus, being the Lamb of God, had to be born in a stable. He couldn't be born in a nice pink decorated hospital room. Now I want you to catch this down. Today, something is happening in the message. The world is being reformatted with all the technology, invasion of technology in the message. And now it's been so reformatted and it's been, you know, so decorated nicely and repackaged that it is being made to be attractive. All the swaddling clothes is being taken off and is being dressed up in a way now for the educated. See, I don't want to get all down in the air. I might spoil somebody Christmas. See? And now it's being, as I say, repackaged. And being commercialized and everything else. But the angel told them, you'll find it wrapped in swaddling clothes. You'll find it in the manger. Don't be surprised, because remember, he's the Lamb of God. Where you expect a lamb to be born. And if he's the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, a theologian don't know about taking care of lambs. A shepherd know about that. So the message have to come to those who know to carry this lamb message. Because it's a message of the lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Amen. What is this lamb? Amen. Abel, he was a shepherd. God started with shepherds. Cain had a church. Cain had an altar. But it ought to have no lamb on it. See, it shows the beginning a theologian knows nothing about the lamb. Cain had it all night, beautifully decorated with flowers and fruits and everything else, and God did not have respect to Cain's sacrifice. But God had respect to Abel, and God testified of Abel, gives that he was righteous. Because Abel caught the mystery that it was going to take a slain lamb to remit our sins, to bring us before God, to stand in the righteousness of our Lamb, that we cannot stand in our own righteousness, and our life must be given, our guilt must be transferred upon that Lamb. And Abel caught that. Moses, a shepherd, while he was an Egyptian scientist, he couldn't take the people out of Egypt. He had to become a shepherd and learn the ways of a shepherd. If we have to redeem the people. And when he's going to redeem them from the greatest judgment, the last plague, he took a lamb. Amen. And he killed that lamb and told them, apply the blood on the lintel and the two side posts, the blood of a male lamb in the first year. Is that right? Why? There was shepherds that was catching that. Look at Abraham going to offer the sacrifice. And the boy said, Daddy, yeah, you find the one, but where's the ram? He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. A lamb that came not by sex, but by the spoken word, and died on a mountain, a male lamb. Glory! Look at David. David was a shepherd, is that right? Now the promise come all through the air. Promise come to Abraham. Promise come to David. That man was dripping sheepskin. Those men was revealing the mystery of the great shepherd of the sheep, the great Lamb of God that was going to come. And who through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the great shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And as the Lamb of God will take the seals and open the book, and I'll call my sheep by their name. I'll gather my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I know my sheep, and my sheep will hear my voice. That's why in this hour, in the house of David, that's why God has predestined a virgin womb in there who is going to receive this great mystery being spoken by an angel that come down from heaven to make known that out of that virgin womb will come forth this great promise, this great son that was promised David, this son who is going to be God himself, a son who is going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, a son who is going to be greater than Solomon. Think of it. What is going to come forth out of this virgin womb of yours and mine? What is going to come forth out of this virgin womb when faith, that word of promise, that seed of God could find a place in a womb, a fertile womb, a place to fall into and grow. That out of your life would come forth Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is that very mystery. Christ, the anointed word. Not coming out of a seminary, but an angel coming down from heaven, bringing forth this great thing. Here's another great thing, he says. David, the great king, shepherd, was born in Bethlehem. His father, Jesse, was born in Bethlehem. His grandfather, Obed, was born in Bethlehem. All the way back come from Bethlehem. And here, Jesus, the son of David, is born in Bethlehem. And then if the Messiah is to be born in the shadow of the cathedral, why did they have to go plumb back up into the mountains to a bunch of unlearned and trained shepherds to bring the great message, the first message, and commission shepherds? Not the wise and the trained, but shepherds. It's a great thing, isn't it? But there's got to be a why somewhere. There's a why. Now, there's got to be an answer why, and no man knows the answer save God. He's the one who knows the answer. And remember, the Messiah was already in the city, born in the stable, right by the great cathedrals, and the great priests and theologians and the wise and all the trained, all was there waiting for the Messiah, and he was right there in the midst. But why then, out in the hills of Judea, to unlearned, untrained, uncultured, poorest of all, look like the most unfit person for such a task to reveal the message and then send them out to bring the message? What is he saying? This message of the greatest event in the last days, when the Son of David is to come on the scene to establish his throne in the earth, when we see the kingdom of God is at hand, when we see a sign that he has left the Father's throne to take his own throne, when we see that the seven sealed book is open and is gathering his redeemed subjects who will reign with him, when we see the house that he has built, that he will dwell in a house for his name, when we see he who has the key of David, that he's married to a bride and she put the veil on his shoulder, that the government shall be on his shoulder. When that message is coming forth, it's going to come forth by some very unqualified people. Amen. Unqualified in the way that man qualifies man. Amen. They would not have the qualification of man, but they'll have the identification of God. So that means we will have to not have the taste of the world. We will not have to be trapped into the culture that the world cultures its people in, to give them a taste, to accept the things of the world in the way that the world presents it. Why did they crucify him the first time? Why has they crucified him the second time? Who put them up on the outside? The church world. Revelation 3:20, in the last church age, the Laodicean age, when they are rich and increased with goods, when they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, in the most religious age, when they have over 1,000 denominations, when they have a great big confederation of churches with the Roman Catholic system going to give the power and strength to the beast so that they can bring world peace and security to a world, a new world order that they want to establish. And the Pope looking to go to Mount Sinai to pray with Jew and Muslim together to bring this great utopia in that time. But when they have the greatest schools and greatest methods of learning, advanced learning with all the technology and science that they have in this great computer age, wow, God, take up illiterate, humble herdsmen who only know about taking care of sheep to bring such a great message. Why? See, God is not interested in pleasing man. Amen. God must stay true to his own character. Amen. Because when he had to be born, he who planned his own birth. Now catch this. Mary and Joseph was of the house of David. David was of the tribe of Judah. Judah was the tribe that was promised the king. David was chosen king, and his house was a dynasty of kings. And Joseph and Mary were direct descendants of David. And he was a carpenter, and she was a common village girl. And she was so poor. Look at the wealth and riches David and Solomon had. And Mary didn't even have clothes for the baby. She takes swaddling cloth to wrap the child in and put in a manger, because there's no place for them in the inn. You get that? You can see God. You can see the wisdom of God. You can see how God thinks. You can see how God works. You see how God chooses to fulfill his word. Then remember, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Remember, you find God in humble things. Remember, you find God in simplicity, not in the tinsel of this world. Remember, God is featured in character, not outward. He blasted them Pharisees with the outward external things. But as inside you, you're full of dead men bones. He was outside. He would have no form, no comeliness, no beauty. We should desire him like a root out of a dry ground. But inside, Amen. But I will veil the glory that the seraphims and them had to cover their face and cry, holy, 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 day and night. You got monk transfiguration, he pulled the mask back and the sun glorified. He said, tell no man the vision. I might look like this outside, like an old temple here, like batch of skins, but inside here is the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah! This is what Isaiah saw. This is what they'll see the last is when I unveil myself. This hidden Messiah is still hidden this morning. Still hidden. That's why he has to be revealed to you. You can only know him by revelation. You can only worship him when he's revealed to you. Outside of revelation, you cannot touch him. That's why church life is a powerless life. It takes a life of revelation, the power to rise above sin. Amen. Church life will end up in filth and corruption. Amen. But quickening power raise you up who has taken sin and trespasses and set you in heavenly places where you know your position and you live overcoming life. Exactly right. Hidden Messiah is hidden. He's only unveiled to those who have found him, to whom he has revealed himself to. All the women stuck up for Mary because they thought she had a legitimate baby, not knowing that that was the very God who created the heaven and just packing right there. God did it in a way it confused them. God liked to do things to bring out man hypocrisy. God know the pretense and the hypocrisy in people. God know what society does to people. God know the false values and the false images society is burning people. So God is working a way to bring out all that, to show them that is only tinsel, that is only cosmetic, that is only paint on, but the reality that come by a new birth where God, amen, but it can change your life and transform you and make you a new creation. All things pass away and all things become new. That's what Jesus died for. That's what he born in the earth for, so he can go and die to bring that to each and every one of us, so we can have the greatest Christmas ever. Then we don't have to put lights on the house. He need the light come in the house. We don't have to put light on the tree. You need the very tree reflecting the very light. Glory be to God in the house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But you need the fruitcake. Soak in it. Soak with wine. You need the real fruitcake. Come from the vine. The fruit of the earth that you give, amen. That you can feed upon the very bread of life, the body loaf. You become that very thing. Sure. Man, come around you Christmas time, you bring out your strong wine. He leave your house shouting. He leave your house dancing, amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, I tell you, amen. Yes, sir. This hidden Messiah who is still hidden to the world. Don't you know you carry Messiah? Don't you know if I call you Messiah? Because Messiah is in you. The anointed word. The word anointed in you make you Messiah. The word for this age. Amen. Jesus. I have 5 moments. Listen, I have 5 moments. I'm not going to spoil your day. I'm going to give you a good day. Amen. Glory. Jesus. Let me get the face clean and nice for the next part of the service. Hallelujah! Sometimes I be tossed between two things. Whether come out in my suit and do it before the service. Or just as an afternoon preacher, all soaking wet, but that's when I'm dripping with the anointing. That's when the blessing can come down. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. This is a great Christmas. Amen. Oh, this Christmas brings us nearer to going home. Amen. Than all the other Christmases has brought us to. Amen. And as we come so near to going home, are we talking about the Word being born out of a virgin womb? It is more real to us. We are great with child. And a few more days to be accomplished that she should be delivered. And bring forth a man child who will sit with him in his throne, who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. For the word born into manifestation again. Amen. So if Messiah is born in the shadow of a cathedral, says, think of it, humble herdman. Now remember, the Messiah was already in the city, but look how he's been revealed. I believe it because the wisdom of God, he knew they wouldn't receive such a message. So he says, so the Messiah was here, and there was somebody who recognized it, and he knew those who hadn't been mixed up in such stuff as that, he would be able to get his message to an unlearned group, than he would be able to a mixed-up group that was set in their ways, that nothing could turn them, not even the Word of God. You could be in such a bad condition, somebody could show you the Word of God, tell you the Word of God, and you can't come out of your condition, you can't turn from your way. He said, not even the Word of God could turn them. He said, he could get his message to a group who was mixed up in stuff like that, all of theology, all of false business. Think of it. I just wonder if he would make the same act today and send us in this generation the promised word that's promised for this generation. I wonder if our theologians and educators and wise wouldn't turn the message down just the same as they did then. Remember when the wise men came? Wise men gave them these. Boy, they was excited. They're coming to Jerusalem. They were so charged. They were shouting, where is he? Where is he? That is born, King of the Jews. We have seen his tidings and we have come to worship him. Where is he? What is this crazy thing going on here? He said, where? Who is born, King of the Jews? What you all talking about? He said, we have seen a star in the east. They got all the theologians, they bring them and says, come, let's have a council here. Says, you know any more some ruler, great king is to be born among the Jews? Bible says the search and they found it in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Out of Bethlehem, recently the prince of Judah shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people. Wow. When Herod saw it in the book and realized those things were no longer history, that no longer prophecy, the prophecy had become history. Amen. Right in his own background. Amen. He got scared because he wanted to hold on to power. He wanted to keep his system going. And this governor out of Bethlehem and all these great kings of the east come bearing gifts to worship this king. They didn't come to worship me. They didn't say they come to see King Herod. They're talking about a greater king than me, one that saves people from their sins, one whose kingdom will have no end. No. I can't handle that. And he begin to plan. He says, what time is star up here? He said, 19:30, 20 bucks in the Ohio River. I'm in the kingdom house with this. He said, 1961, like a son of mine, a cloud. The sign of the kingdom is at hand. He said, no, we got to get a great council here. Vatican Council II, or whatever you want to call it. We got to get all these kings of the earth, and let's get these governments, and we're going to disguise it, and we're going to, you know, give some code names for these things, and we're going to, you know, sort of search them out. And we're going to give them security cards and credit cards. And we can track them. We're going to get information. We're going to build dossiers in them. Then we're going to find out who they are, what they be. We're going to shut them down. Everything that's contrary. He said, we have to even manipulate the system, bring a crash or something to bring our own system. We're going to use the white to give our own purposes, whatever we have to do. Amen. But take control of the society once more. So no king, with no kingdom, no come. This is something in the book of Daniel. He's going to crush the 10 toes. Let's get this thing going quickly, because it's in a rock already appeared. Amen. I understand that right now he's gathering his redeemed subjects and all. And then people talk about it in the house of David and all these things. Oh, I tell you, the devil is crazy, amen. But he's getting frustrated, amen. He don't know what to do with this thing. He said, as soon as she give birth to that child, let the red dragon roar. Try to deliver that man child. But what's something? She'll be given two wings of a great eagle. She'll be anointed to fly. Hallelujah! Fly into the place that's prepared for her. Amen. Glory! Brother, I tell you, under our seventh and under their seventh trumpet, this woman travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. No wonder we have some birth pains and all these systems here to just bring on some more birth pains in these last few days that is to be accomplished. That we shall be delivered of this man child. Who brother will prove that we are in an economy that this economy cannot affect? Because he'll feed her, he'll nourish her in that place. Glory! Tell you I'm saying something here. Amen! Thank God in this hour. We didn't find some super duper, some hocus pocus, some jams and jambres. We didn't find some nonsense again, but we found Messiah. We found Messiah. He did. People wonder about you for 20 years. So he talking things to the Jews, all kinds of different things. Look at the prophet, see that? Oh, my, they don't search. So remember under that 60 where we found, when those trumpets, sounded, the Lamb had left the throne. And right there, I mean, don't preach it out of here, preach it out of here. Because you preach it supernaturally already and leave that alone. It's not time. After that catches up with this, then the time comes. So go back in the evangelism. Go back for the honest in heart until the time comes. Amen? So angels coming and giving their message to man of such low estate. When there were man there, much more earthly thought of qualified than these poor illiterate shepherds. And by years ago, come the message. He said, who are you? You said, but a son should be left in the States. And they said, I'll qualify you by a big learned man. See, of great reputation. Because there was no searching what the word says. Man of low estate and qualified speaker. Humble herdsman. Notice the highest of heaven came down to make himself known to the lowest of earth, by passing all between to make himself known to common herdsmen, coming to give these common herdsmen the greatest message of all times. There have been many great messengers in Noah's day, in the prophets, in the kings, potentates, monarchs, but here comes the greatest message of all messages. What was the message? Messiah is here now. The greatest message. He didn't give it to Luther, great German scholar. He didn't give it to Wesley, this great famed Englishman. He didn't give it to all these great learned reformers in the Pentecostal age. The greatest mess of all messages, he comes to nobodies. Men who talk like the sheep, smell like the sheep, sound like the sheep. Not no big elevated Nicolaitan Pope. Not like that, no. Humble herdsman. Amen. Men don't have to get in the filth. Tend to the sheep. Come out there smelling all. See, that people don't have to put a clothespin over his nose. You want to tiptoe, you can't go inside there. But in that environment, in the occupation and the person, in that environment, the shepherd is right at home. the learning that they had spent, all the missionaries, all the proselytes, all the membership, everything that they had taught, that they had done to honor God. Yet the key message of all was bypassed from them. Strange. Here's a prophet revealed. Think of it. All the learning that they had spent, all the missionaries, all the proselytes, all the membership, everything that they had taught, that they had done to honor God. Yet the key message of all was bypassed from them. Strange. Here's a prophet revealing, don't look for big shiny things in this message. He's telling us the seventh seal, this message is coming with the signs on the earth. It's humble herdsmen. People want that. It's a hidden Messiah. How can it be revealed to you? Notice the most unlikely place for such an event. The shepherds now are the one who received the message. And now notice where the message was. In the most unlikely place anyone would expect it to come. You can imagine great kings like David and Solomon in the big palace. Talking about this one. Moses, great leader of 2.5 million people walking out there. Saying the Lord will raise up this great one that's going to come. You think they're going to find it in a stable? In a manger? Is there air conditioning there, no? Is that a nice tile, you know, with patterns on it and manger, yeah, nice, you know. And the baby, when they do find the baby, it didn't have no pink, no booty, and a little bonnet on the head, and bib around it and everything. Yeah, and that, you know, nice stroller at the side, and that, you know. The greatest, minister. Our religion, we the Jews, for 4,000 years, wait for the Messiah to come, the Savior of the world, this! In the midst of all this filth, and not an old animal, and all kind of things here, this! And these men carrying it! Think of it, friends. The key message, the key message! Because what good was to say, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he'll do this, he'll do the other. They wasn't saying that, they're saying, he's here, we found him, I'll show you, he's on the scene. They had a message making present tense. They had a message to identify where he was laying, and why the world couldn't see him, and how he's hidden there, and should be a sign, you'll find him, and be wrapped. But that will be him. That will be Emmanuel. That will be Emmanuel. And when they look at him and say, oh, that Jehovah laying there in that manger on that hay, that's our Redeemer. Amen. Didn't get a nice little polo suit that Tommy Hilfiger, pampa, Alice Claiborne socks, booty. And spray up with Calvin Klein. He was smelling stink. He was looking old. He was looking uncivilized. He was looking a certain way. But that was the power that created the universe. If anybody's been saved, if any life has been transformed, if any soul's been delivered, that was the one there. That was the blood cell, the creative blood cell. When God overshadowed the virgin and created a blood cell to open a fountain to bring redemption to a lost world. That was it right there. I trust when you look at the mess today, you can look beyond all the natural things and see the character of Jehovah, see the power of Jehovah, see the simplicity and the humility of Jehovah being revealed in the message being carried by unqualified people in this hour. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah! Feel like I'm doing a David dance this morning. Hallelujah! Oh, glory be to God in the highest. Man! What
What a great, mighty God. Amen. That we serve here this morning. I just so love him. Just want to sing a little song, gone from his glory, ever-living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger to a world a stranger, man of sorrow. In worship, those angels sang. First time angels, after God in creation, the heavens and the earth, then the beginning of the new creation, angels sang again. At the beginning of the new creation, angels sang. How sweet! And they sang to shepherds. Those shepherds went around sheep that day. And all of the sheep were gathered around the shepherds. And they didn't know, in that time while they were being fed, the feeding would become interrupted by heavenly beings from another dimension breaking in all around them. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And he says, we bring you glad tidings of great joy. In this dark world, friends, in this age that we live in, when it seems so hopeless, seems there's nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, seems so chaotic, church leaders don't know what to do, more and more rehabilitation centers coming up all over the land, more and more homes for unwed mothers, everything is falling apart, more and more bigger jails are being built. Insane institutions are on the increase. Together with poverty and famine and drinking water being depleted. There's no hope for this world outside of this Messiah. Yet again, we look and see the world don't even know he's here. Wrapped up in the tradition and the superstition, Santa Claus. Who is he? I don't even know. Some man, they say, come down the chimney. That fat man, you have to have chimney bigger than a house for him to get down inside of you. Amen. But Jesus can come right into your heart this morning. He can come to the channel of faith right down to your soul. Put something in your heart that Santa Claus can't put in your stocking. Amen. That's going to make your bells jingle. If your bells didn't jingle for a long time, you can jingle this morning. Jingle all the way into glory. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love him. But the thing of a shepherd adoring Emmanuel as they looked on the face of the Savior of the world. They had read about it. They had heard it preached in church. They had wondered. Many wrote songs about it, but now they're looking at him. Just looking at him. They knew God had kept his promise. God was faithful to his promise. God had been faithful in this day, friends. That seven seal did break. That mighty angel did come down. He did find a virgin womb. Shepherds did find that Messiah. This great son of David is born king of the Jews. He'll reign and rule over the kingdoms of this world. This is the hour. All these things is to come to its complete fulfillment. And it's happening. And you are part of it because you are of the house of David. God build you into that house. He said, I will build David a house. I will put a Mary in there who could receive an angel message in that conjunction. I will put a virgin womb there, not messed up. One who can be pregnated and the Holy Ghost overshadows her. One who will know no man. One who will know that holy thing that is formed inside of her. is none other than the Son of God himself. She's bringing forth something, that seed. She's bringing forth that root and offspring. She's bringing forth the great Lion of Judah. Think of it, Virgo bringing forth Leo, the king. She's carrying him. She might look like nothing, a village girl without any money. Joseph, poor fella, struggling the whole carpenter shop, trying to make it, yet they are of royal lineage. But the house of David is so broken down. But even in that broken down state, God still had a ones and twos he could come to. He preserved to bring the past to the world. He didn't choose to bring the past when the house of David seemed to be at its best state. It seemed to be at its lowest state. But that's when God chose to bring the past.
Amen.
You may not look like much today. The Christian church might look like it blossomed greater in the days of its history gone by. And it seemed like we have dwindled out. But yet, in the simplicity, God have chose to come down and do it in something that looks so insignificant, so weak. But that's what makes it God. So that no flesh could glory in his presence. What a wonderful thing that is this morning. Let's adore him. Let's worship him. This hidden Messiah, hid in your heart, in the manger of your heart, this word has been born out of your life. He'll walk in your feet, speak to your lips, think with your mind, work with your hands, believe with your heart. This Jesus, in that day you will know I in you and you in me. This great mystery of Christ, Christ in you. He is the root and the offspring. He's come down. Oh, down from his glory.
From his glory.
Oh, ever living story.
My God and Savior King.
And Jesus was his name.
Adore him this morning, my breath, my sunshine,
oh, my all in all.
Thank you, Jesus, the great creator.
Bringing us redemption.
Oh, that in the dead of night.
Not one faint hope in sight.
Oh, God's gracious grace. splendor. Such humility. That's what made him so great. He laid aside his splendor. Hallelujah. And that's what he's doing this morning. Stooping to woo. Why don't you open your heart to him? To win. To save your soul. Oh, lift your hands and lift your voices to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This great land of Judah, this bright and morning star, this wicked offspring of David. Savior, deliverer, healer, provider, peace, rock. Father, we bow our hearts in your presence today. As we reflect, dear God, in this great demonstration and act of divine love, to know that you're the great God who fills all space and time, who blew the galaxies out of your hand, Lord. The great creator of heaven and earth. And all things were made by you, and without you there was nothing made that was made. Yet, God, you who was worshipped by millions of angels, crying, holy, 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 day and night.
covering their faces, oh God. Angels that never did sin or fall, Lord. Yet, Lord, in that great, divine, majestic presence, they knew, Lord, that they were insufficient to look upon that great glory that covered their faces. Yet, Lord, you so desired to redeem us, Lord, fallen man, fallen so low, Lord, down to the very pits of hell. You showed in Abraham, leaving Hebron, leaving Mamre, leaving Dan to go to Beersheba, to redeem his lost fallen brethren, who was in chains, bound and fettered, even like Moses, going to deliver his brethren, Lord, born in bondage and being ruled with rigor, afflicted and spoiled. So, Lord, you look down upon us, fallen humanity. You traded your scepter for a shepherd's staff. Came in the likeness of sinful flesh, even being tempted in all points, yet without sin. As a great shepherd, looking for the sheep, Lord, that had gone astray. What a joy it is today, Father. Lord, to stand in your presence, to be washed in your blood, Lord, redeemed from a life of sin, our hearts filled with hope and expectation, the great future that you have prepared for us. My Father's house and many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. Now I will come and receive you unto myself. Here in this hour, when these things are unfolding and being revealed and made clear by the Holy Spirit and being identified in our hearts, and you've given us the assurance and the comfort and the peace in letting us know that we are considered in that number by giving us the same kind of experience that Mary received, that Joseph received, that Simeon and Anna received, dear God. Hallelujah, those shepherds receive. Know, dear God, that this is your word coming to pass. We thank you, Father. We thank you, dear God, we see the same God working the same way, in the same kind of circumstance, with the same kind of people, in the same kind of hour. Know that all these things were given for examples. What a joy it brings to our heart and how it thrills us. See these things coming to pass. Pray today, dear God, that which have been spoken might be so little, oh God, not having much time in this service today. But yet, oh God, you can take that and expand it, dear God, and use it in a way to reveal your love and to touch hearts and lives. And in the simplicity of a Christmas story, at this Christmas time, dear God, when the whole world is thinking about your birth, but Lord, in a perverted way, expressing these things in a way of paganism, Lord. Yet, Lord, the scriptural truth can come to hearts and remind us, oh God, that you are alive and you are here in the midst of your children. And you are interested in us, Lord. That same message that was proclaimed to them, a Savior was born, one who can save them from their sins, dear God. Hallelujah! One who can have a throne in that great kingdom without end. Oh God, and those who are privileged to see these things and understand these things and to bear and bring forth these things out of their lives, to have these things being made known to them,
by angelic visitation. Surely you are still saved. And Lord God, it should mean something. In a way, dear God, that it can cause one who is far from you to be closer drawn to you. And one who may be bound in sin to be loose and come out of that sin, Father. And one, oh God, who has drifted away to find that path and come back again, Lord. One who might be sick to know that there is healing. One who is bound in captivity to know there is deliverance. One, oh God, who is trapped in the bondage of captivity of that false birth can be delivered, oh God, by a new birth, Lord. Hallelujah, we may partake of a new nature, to become part of a new creation, Lord. Oh God, may you grant it, Father. May you grant it today that this Christmas, which could be our last Christmas, the one, oh God, has a stand in a place where we are closer home than every previous Christmas. Yeah, God can cause us to lift our eyes to the eastern skies. But when Jesus will appear, and we who are alive and remain, together with them who are raised up from the dead, them in Christ, will be caught up to meet you, Lord, and so be with you forever. Let this great hope be planted and be watered and be inspired and become so rooted and grounded and take such a possession of the lives of those without of this hope. May those who have this hope may be reinforced and be strengthened within them and may purify them. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. He's coming in power. This very hour we shall see the King. We can hear a distant rumble. We can hear a trumpet sounding, Lord. We can see the thing breaking in the land, Father. We can see the world falling apart. Give a crying baby in a manger. Again, Lord. God in humility. In the character in which you give your gifts, Lord. Not in the way that man planned it, things with great pomp and glory. But in the character of your word. In truth, in righteousness, in purity. And so let it be received like that today. And may its transforming power change the hearts and lives of those that would make their heart a place for this great Christ to be born. Where many hearts do not have room for you today, Lord. Oh God, let this anointed word be planted deep within. Grant it, Father. Bless all that is gathered here. Them that would have to leave. May your peace and your presence and your blessing go with them. May the influence of the word that was spoken remain with them. May it continue, Lord, to take on greater meaning and value. We pray the Spirit of Truth to bring it back to their remembrance and teach them further these things. As we continue on the betrothal and the baptism, Lord Jesus, may your great presence bring such great blessing in the hearts of these who the remaining portion of the service will be centered around. Your children, Father, walking in your light as you have blessed them, walking in your revealed will. Them, dear God, making this great momentous decision today to be identified with you, knowing that when you came, you didn't point man to your birth, but you point them to your death. Except the corner we fall in the ground and die, we will abide alone. But when we fall and die, we will bring forth much more corns of wheat. Like the one that fell in the ground. In multiplied form, Lord. And So when they said, so we'd see Jesus, you showed them that cross, Father. Where that fountain was open to cleanse us from all sin and righteousness. Where that lamb was slain. Where that atonement was made, Father. Knowing today that we'd have candidates coming to be identified with that lamb. To be immersed in water. Oh God, we have a young couple coming to be betrothed like Joseph and Mary was. Hallelujah! And because it was in that state, you moved down and you overshadowed Mary to conceive. Oh, that great Emmanuel. Because you chose to put honor on the married state. And you used Joseph to be a shield for her. We thank you for that, Lord. How you make the marriage institution so dignified and honorable. And such a blessed thing. And to know we have young couple walking in this way today, coming to be betrothed. Bless all of this be settled done now. Lead and direct us. May it be according to divine will and approval. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus.